This is a WSMI podcast from the Tally Broadcasting Station.
Time now for part one of the Morning Farm Show, brought to you by Farm Credit Services of Illinois and by Taylor Tire and Auto on Tyler Avenue, Litchfield. Taylor Tire and Auto in Litchfield is your headquarters for Firestone Farm Tires and Service. Taylor Tire, your authorized Firestone Tire dealer, is the place to call for all your Firestone Farm Tire needs. And when you need in-the-field service, the folks at Taylor Tire and Auto are trained, experienced, and they have the right equipment to do the job and on time. So when you need Firestone Farm Tires or in-the-field service, call the folks at Taylor Tire and Auto at the west end of Tyler Avenue, Litchfield.
Next time you're looking for a good deal on farm equipment, be sure to get a good deal on the financing, too. You can by asking for Ag Direct financing at your ag equipment dealer. Along with attractive financing rates, Ag Direct offers farm-friendly financing terms, including financing from 2 to 7 years and delayed payments for up to a year. Ag Direct also features easy applications, fast credit decisions, and is offered through Farm Credit Services of Illinois. People who understand agriculture. See for yourself. When you want to buy, lease, or refinance farm equipment, ask your dealer for Ag Direct financing. Subject to approval, restrictions may apply. Get a good deal on farm equipment financing with Ag Direct, available only at your ag equipment dealer. Check our competitive interest rates at agdirect.com. Ask your dealer for simple, fast, and flexible financing. Ask for Ag Direct.
First of all, on the Farm Show on this Wednesday morning in electronic trading on the Chicago Board of Trade, May wheat now trading at 712.5, down 9.25. July wheat trading at 721.5, down 9.5. May corn trading at 675.75, down 7.5. July corn trading at 644.25, down 5.75. May soybeans now trading at 14.52, down 15.75. July beans trading at 13.87.75, down 11.25. August beans trading at 13.31.25, down 8.5. On the Chicago Board of Trade Tuesday, May wheat ended the day at 7.21.75, up 12. July wheat ended at 7.31, up 14.5. September wheat ended at 7.40.25, up 15. May corn yesterday ended the day at 6.83.25, down 3/4. July corn ended the day at 6.50, down 9.75. September corn ended the day at 5.80.25, down 4.5. May soybeans yesterday ended at 14.67.75, down 4. July beans ended at 13.99, down 9.75. August beans ended at 13.39.75, down 5.25. May soybean meal yesterday ended the day at 4.28.30, down 31. July meal 4.14.50, down 19. August meal 3.88.90, down 12. May soybean oil yesterday ended at 49.13, down 33. July oil 49.22, down 29. August oil 49.04, down 23. May oats yesterday ended the day at 4.15.5, up 4.5. July oats ended the day at 3.91.75, up a penny. Right now we'll take you to the Department of Agriculture in Springfield for a recap of the cash grain markets.
Thank you. This is Jerry Milberg with the U.S. and the Illinois Department of Agriculture with Tuesday's Grain Market Report. The Illinois country grain prices ended mixed on Tuesday afternoon, with wheat closing higher and corn and soybeans lower. Wheat drew strength from the cold and wet weather forecast for the western plain states. Corn futures were weakened by technical trading at the Board of Trade. And in the cash markets on Tuesday, the cash soybean processor basis remained firm, with increases of 5 to 10 cents noted at many locations. In northern and western Illinois, country grain dealers quoted shell corn bids 4 to 7 cents lower at 675 to 688, while soybeans were mostly 8 to 12 cents weaker at 1457 to 1467. In central Illinois, country grain dealers quoted shell corn bids 10 cents lower at 668 to 682, and soybeans fell 7 to 10 cents at 1474 to 1489. In the southern part of the state, shell corn bids were mostly 6 to 10 cents lower at 6.58 to 6.93. Soybeans mostly 4 to 10 lower at 14.79 to 14.99. And the wheat bids up 6 to 11 cents on Tuesday at 7.11 to 7.31. Illinois soybean processor cash soybean bids were steady to a nickel higher at at 15.14 to 15.24. Basis ended 10 to 15 cents stronger, range from 115 to 125 over July. High Pro 48% soybean meal on a truck basis dropped $3.10 a ton to range from 443.30 to 458.30. Illinois corn processor cash corn bids fell 2 to 10 cents at 6.88 to 7.03, with basis steady to 8 cents stronger, range from 38 to 53 over July. Illinois River barge loading elevators quoted producer corn bids 4 to 5 cents lower at 6.88 to 6.90. Basis dropped 3 to 4 cents, range from 5 to 7 over the May. Soybeans down 16 to 20 cents at 14.82 to 14.92, with basis down 12 to 16 cents, range from 14 to 24 over the May. New crop wheat bids for July 13 delivery gained 7 to 12 cents at 7.21 to 7.31, with basis 3 to 8 cents lower, range from 10 under to option July. East St. Louis barge loading terminal elevators place their producer corn bids 1 cent lower at 6.87 to 6.88. These same elevators raise their soybean bids by a penny, ranging from 15.12 to 15.13. Soft red winter wheat gained 12 at 7.46 to 7.47, while the Milo lost a penny, down to 6.67 to 6.68. Contract bids to producers for new crop delivered grain in northern and western Illinois. Country elevator bids to producers in those regions range for new crop corn from 5.19 up to 5.35. New crop soybean bids 11.85 to 11.94. In central Illinois, new crop corn bids range from 5.23 up to 5.39. New crop soybean bids 11.91 to 12.06. In the southern part of the state, new crop corn range from 5.25 up to 5.42. New crop soybean bids 11.89 to 12.15. And the new crop wheat bids in southern Illinois for July 13 delivery, those bids range from a low of 7.01 up to 7.27. That concludes our grain report for Tuesday. This is Jerry Milberg with the U.S. and the Illinois Department of Agriculture.
Livestock futures on the Chicago Board of Trade yesterday. May hogs ended the day at 90.10, up 80. June hogs ended at 92.57, up 42. July hogs ended at 92.90, up 40. April cattle yesterday ended the day at 128.40, up 70. June cattle 121.90, down 65. August cattle 122.55, down 52. May feeder cattle yesterday 139.55, down 87. August feeders 148.90, down 97. September feeders 150.67, down 90. Back we go to the Department of Agriculture in Springfield for a recap of the cash livestock markets.
This is Bob Reese with the U.S. and Illinois Department of Agriculture with the afternoon livestock report. Starting with the Eastern Corn Belt Hog Report, barrels and gilts on a carcass basis were trading unreported. Calculations for a 200-pound pork carcass traded in the range of 80 to 80.15, with the weighted average carcass price of $80.13. From the Illinois Direct Sow Report, slaughter sows traded steady, with light demand for moderate offerings. U.S. 1 and 3 grade sows weighing under 400 pounds were 40 to 43, 4 to 5 weights 42 to 46, the 5 to 550 weights 45 to 48, and 550 and up 47 to 50. On the Illinois direct hog trade, barrels and gilts at country buying points traded steady to a dollar higher, with moderate demand and offerings ranging in price from 55 to 58. Receipts for Illinois hogs so far today totaled 9,214 head, and from the United Producers Auction at Shelbyville opening report for April 30th, they had receipts of 481 head, and compared to last week's slaughter steers and heifers traded 50 to a dollar higher, slaughter Holstein steers traded at 50 cents higher, and starting with the choice slaughter steers, they were bringing 123 to 128, choice slaughter Holstein steers 113 to 117, choice slaughter heifers 124 to 126. Now from the Carthage Special Bred Cow and cow-calf sale from April 29th. They had receipts of 475 head. Trade was active with very good demand, especially for the younger reputation females. There were also a large number of younger breeding age bulls sold from the range of 2,000 to 2,500. Now, starting with the bred cows, large ones, first stage, the youngs were bringing 1,300 to 1,500, second stage, middle age, 1,250 to 1,500, and third stage, middle age, 1,275 to 1,900. Cow-calf pairs, large ones, starting with the youngs, were 1,770 to 1,900. They had some fancies at 2,050 to 2,400. Middle age, 1,525 to 1,900. Fancies were 2,000 to 2,100. From the National Daily Pork Report, FOB Plant Report, trading for retail and processing cuts were established with 332 loads traded. Calculations for a 200-pound pork carcass was $86.72, which was $1.51 lower. From the National Box Beef Cutout Report, values for choice and select beef carcasses were trading higher. Choice carcasses were $194.96, which was 17 cents higher, and select carcasses were $187.71, and that was $1.41 higher. For the estimated daily slaughter under federal inspection, slaughter cattle was estimated at 125,000, which compared to 123,000 last week and 128,000 a year ago. Hog slaughter was estimated at 418,000, which compared to 425,000 last week and 413,000 one year ago. Now from the Arthur Sale Barn Weekly Hay Report from April 29th, they had receipts of 2,448 bales. Alfalfa premium quality small squares traded from $6 to $8.25. Large squares 3x3 at $130. Alfalfa orchard grass premium quality small squares traded at $6.50 to $8.25. Oat hay good quality small squares, good quality large squares sold for $95. Orchard grass premium quality small squares traded from $6.50 to $8.75, and mixed grass good quality small squares range from $4 to $6. That concludes our livestock report. This is Bob Reese with the U.S. and Illinois Department of Agriculture.
Spot dairy prices on the Chicago Mercantile Exchange yesterday: for butter, $1.69 unchanged; for block cheese, $1.88.5 up 1.75. For barrel cheese, $1.66 down a half. The spot price for Class 3 milk ending Tuesday, $18.67, a nickel higher than Monday's close. Here are the bids from Hog Inc. Incorporated of Greenfield and Scottville. Corn delivered to Greenfield for April and May, $6.75. Corn delivered to Scottville for April and May, $6.64. Beans delivered to Greenfield or Scottville for April and May, $14.74. And wheat delivered to Scottville, $7.11. For more information or to confirm the bids, call Hog Inc.'s Greenfield office at 217-368-2888. Pre-opening prices once again: corn at Greenfield, $6.75. Corn at Scottville, $6.64. Beans at Greenfield or Scottville, $14.74. And wheat at Scottville, $7.11. That's all for part one of the Morning Farm Show. It's coming up on 6:22. Color radar shows no precipitation in the Mid-Illinois listening area. This check of color radar weather brought to you by the M&M Service Company.
If you're going to challenge the status quo, you don't do so timidly. You've got to dig a little deeper and aim a little higher. Introducing FS Envision Seed Corn, engineered with genetic muscle to outperform expectations. We're the challenger brand, but make no mistake, we're here to unseed the top seed. See your local FS member company or visit fsenvision.com. Powered by Green Plan Solutions.
Sunny skies today, high temperatures in the low 80s with light southeast winds. Partly cloudy tonight, low temperatures in the low 60s. For tomorrow, Thursday, becoming cloudy with a 60% chance of showers, high temperatures in the low 70s. Your extended forecast for Friday through Sunday, partly cloudy and cooler with a day-to-day chance of showers, lows in the mid-40s, highs in the mid to the upper 50s. Right now at the Weather Center, the winds are calm, the barometric pressure is rising, mostly clear skies, 53 degrees on this Wednesday morning. Part two of the Morning Farm Show brought to you by the Montgomery County Farm Bureau, where membership means value, and by Quality Engine Machine Shop of Litchfield. In the news this morning, the United States Department of Agriculture issued its weekly crop progress and condition report Monday. State statistician Mark Schleusner has more.
Illinois had more cold and wet weather last week. Farming activities were severely limited, and almost zero planting was done because of cold and wet soils across the state. Temperatures were more than 6 degrees below normal, and rainfall was almost 1/4 inch above normal. Overall, there were just 0.3 days suitable for field work last week. The state average rainfall last week was 1.07 inches. Northern and western areas generally got less than 1 inch of rain, while the rest of the state was more than 1 inch. After two wet weeks in a row, Illinois topsoil moisture increased to 45% adequate and 55% surplus. Subsoil moisture was reported as 3% short, 72% adequate, and 25% surplus. We did receive some reports of limited planting in the central part of the state on sandy soils, but the total acreage planted last week was insignificant. Corn planting remained stalled at 1% complete, compared to 76% last year and 36% for the 5-year average. Oats planting inched ahead to 32% complete, compared to 79% normally. The condition of the winter wheat crop was reported as 2% poor, 21% fair, 61% good, and 16% excellent. This has been Mark Schleusener with the Illinois Field Office of the USDA's National Agricultural Statistics Service in Springfield.
Tuesday, we talked to Arlen Suderman of Water Street Solutions about the grain trade, and we asked him about weather concerns.
I think it really will be. We're going to be beholden to the weather models, and that means if the weather models switched warm and dry, we could see just as big a collapse in the markets. But right now, they're holding out for cold and wet, with a major low-pressure system expected to cut off from the jet stream this week in the nation's midsection and drift very slowly to the east, pulling in cold air from Canada down behind it while it continues to pull Gulf moisture up. We could see some very heavy rains up to 4, 4.5 inches or more in the central part of the Midwest, with those heavy rains then drifting to the east with possibly snow behind it. Some of the weather models even calling for 18, maybe even 24 inches of snow. That's not likely to get that much snow, but that does show you the power of the late winter energy that is going to be drifting across the Midwest and chasing planters back to the shed.
And that's going to affect the areas that we've talked about most over the past couple of weeks, is the upper Midwest, you know, northern Iowa, Minnesota, the Dakotas.
Yeah, exactly right. Iowa, Wisconsin, probably most impacted by any snow that may fall, with Minnesota would be as well. And, of course, USDA's data showing we're just simply not planting corn in that area. We did see some planters going yesterday very aggressively in Nebraska. Not sure how wise that was, because it's probably going to have snow cover on it before the end of the week.
That won't do it any good, will it?
No, absolutely not. You don't like the seed just sitting in wet soils, especially cold, wet soils, and that could be a problem for many producers who tried to get out there and get some corn planted.
There's already talk of worry, and I don't want to use the word panic, but about being able to put in the corn crop in a timely manner this year already.
Well, there is, and we know the U.S. farmer with the equipment he has today can plant corn in a hurry. The question is now, will we get a chance? When will we get a chance? Obviously, most years you find a way to get the crop in, and so that's still the expectation. However, each week that goes past, we are losing acres. The question is going to be, how many acres do we lose, and then what is the impact on yield? If you have a very favorable summer, you can still make up some of that yield potential. It just sets the odds a little bit more against you.
And you said we will be losing acres. We'll be losing acres to what, say, for instance, soybeans or other crops?
Now, right now, it's got to favor soybeans garnering those acres, and so there's nothing bullishier about new crop soybeans as we delay corn planting.
And also that will affect farmers' plans that they may have had to market their crop early for a fall delivery, right?
Well, it's exactly right. Many farmers had even sold against the September corn contract, figuring that they would plant in good time, harvest early, and be able to capture that premium of stocks tight. But that means old crop stocks now are going to have to stretch a little longer. The harvest is going to be delayed, and so end users are quite concerned about that.
And that's what's going to drive up prices over the next several weeks, isn't it?
At least the cash market. The funds seem to be done with old crop corn. Did get some energy yesterday. Much of that was short covering. We're not seeing that sustained strength today. The strength is in the new crop. New crop can drag old crop higher, and it will do so if new crop keeps going higher. But the strength is really going to be in the cash market in all likelihood.
And that was Arlen Suderman of Water Street Solutions. This week, U.S. Secretary of Agriculture Tom Vilsack announced the Department of Agriculture will expand the information available on the U.S. data sharing website data.gov to agriculturally relevant data. Secretary Vilsack says that information ranges from ag research to nutrition and food safety. All of the information will be cataloged, and he says that's important because it will be easier for people to find the information they want.
This new online community is a big step towards opening information for agriculture and making it public in usable formats. This will increase the value of investments that U.S. taxpayers have made in agricultural research. It'll create a data ecosystem that will fuel economic growth and innovation. It will help drive that innovation to meet the global food challenge we all face.
Secretary Vilsack says data is among the most important commodities in the world today. By making data accessible and encouraging others to do the same, he says collaboration of data users will be enabled, spurring innovation and driving economic growth.
We'll unlock the unlimited opportunity that agriculture holds for economic growth in rural areas around the globe. We can and we will create innovative tools needed to confront the enormous challenges we all face of reducing poverty, improving nutrition, and sustainably intensifying agricultural production.
Secretary Vilsack announced these plans at the International Open Ag Data Conference in Washington. Red meat exports to Russia were very strong for most of 2012, but fell off toward the end of the year. With a report on why, we join Joe Sheely of the United States Meat Export Federation.
After a very strong performance in 2012, U.S. pork and beef exports to Russia recently came to a halt. In this U.S. Meat Export Federation report, Thad Lively, USMEF Senior Vice President for Trade Access, explains the reason behind the impasse.
Since February 11th, U.S. beef and pork have been banned by Russia. The reason that they give is that they have a zero tolerance policy on the presence of residues of ractopamine in beef or pork. Although that position has been in place and on the books for some time, they really only started enforcing it last fall. So their position is that because the U.S. government did not come forward with a program for shipping products from animals that hadn't been fed ractopamine, and other countries had produced similar programs, for that reason we are going to close the market.
Lively says USDA officials have been working closely with the industry to find a solution and explains the next steps.
Russia is an important market. The industry is not prepared to simply write this market off. Basically, the approach that the industry has taken with USDA has been on developing a program that would meet the Russians' requirements. So a lot of work's gone into that over the last few months since the market closed. We are comfortable that the program that they have developed, with a great deal of input from both beef and pork industries, will satisfy Russia's requirement and is workable within existing production practices in the United States. So the next step here, obviously, is for USDA to present the elements of this program to the Russian vets and then take the process forward.
For more on this and other trade issues, please visit usmef.org. For the U.S. Meat Export Federation, I'm Joe Sheely.
A coalition of conservation groups has released a document of principles for the new farm bill. They say the conservation title programs, funding, and authorities have never been more important than they are today. The conservation community cites the great benefits to farmers and ecological integrity of voluntary conservation programs and conservation compliance provisions over the past 25 years, but says there is still work to do. One suggestion is to maintain robust conservation funding. The coalition says funding must be adequate to continue critical conservation programs at robust levels and argues that the conservation title has already given more than its fair share of savings through the annual appropriations process. We'll keep you updated throughout the day with the commodity markets on both WSMI and WSMI FM 106. Once again, in electronic trading on the Chicago Board of Trade, May wheat now trading at 712 and a half, down 9 1/4. July wheat trading at 721 and a half, down 9 1/2. May corn now trading at 676 and a quarter, down 7. July corn trading at 645 and a quarter, down 4 3/4. May soybeans trading at 1451, down 16 3/4. July beans trading at 1386 and a quarter, down 12 3/4. Part two of the Morning Farm Show brought to you by Quality Engine Machine Shop of Litchfield and by the Montgomery County Farm Bureau.